talk to you for a few minutes today about what it means to have the hands-on approach to hope. The hands-on approach to hope. I want you to take your Bibles open to Romans chapter 15. I'm going to use the English Standard Version today. And as I talk about hope today, I am going to talk about some things that that quite possibly you are experiencing. And I don't want you for a moment to think that in when I'm talking about them, that I am minimizing them or I am discounting them, because for some of you, you are dealing with very real world problems, problems that you did not experience 2 weeks ago. And because of the nature of our world right now, we're experiencing new things, all of us. And while I don't want you to think I am discounting the challenges that we are having, I also don't want the church to discount the God that we serve. The God that we serve is much bigger than every problem that we face. And if we're not careful, we will allow the problems to get much larger than the God that we serve. And so we're going to talk about hope. But before we talk about hope, let's talk a little bit about the messages that are coming in our world right now. If you turn on the news, and whether it's you turn it on TV or you go on Facebook or you go online and look somewhere else, the news is same across the board, around the world. The reality is that people are sick and people are dying. We're told that you need to self-quarantine and keep away from anyone that literally could give you the coronavirus. And we're told it's going to get worse, that it's going to continue to grow. And everything that's being done is attempting to flatten the curve. We live in a world right now where we're not supposed to travel outside the United States, where we live in a world where people are going to the grocery store and emptying shelves and hoarding things for themselves. We live in this world where we're being told that the unemployment rate could reach as much as 20%. If you're in the service industry, in all likelihood, you are already unemployed. This virus has changed the world in which we live. They're very real problems. We also must not forget that we serve a very real God. Our God is as real as any problem. Our God is as real as anything that we see. Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came and walked amongst us and went to the cross and died on the cross and rose again 3 days later, is as real as the person that you are next to. They're as real as the person that you see in me. Jesus is real. In fact, Jesus is hope. So if Jesus is real, if God is real, then hope is real. Hope is not just optimism. It's not this pie in the sky. It's not this glass half full. There really is this practical side of hope. In fact, I believe that it really is a hands-on kind of hope. And so I really believe that God, through hope, will move us past the things that have filled our hearts over the last few weeks. And I want to read the first 13 verses in chapter 15. We're going to take a little bit closer look at it. But I want to get somewhat of a helicopter view of where Paul is going here. He says in verse 1, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. Again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Now, let me start with the end. That verse 13, he said these words, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That's the goal, that we abound in hope. So if you're taking notes, you want to write this down. Hope is the motivation to move us toward tomorrow. Hope is the motivation to move us toward tomorrow. Now, hope is a positive anticipation of the future. In the scriptures, it really gives three usages of hope. The first usage of hope we see in the book of Genesis with Noah, as the world has been covered with a flood, and he and his family are in the ark sitting on top of this water looking at a whole new world. And they were told they had to wait. They had to have hope, and that hope was meant for them. They had to wait for the water to subside. And so they waited. Then later in Scripture, you find that it uses an addition in that word that means expectation, or waiting with expectation. Now, the writer Isaiah uses it this way. He says that as a farmer plants, he hopes, or he waits with this expectation. Now, in the Old Testament, they just waited. They didn't know what they were waiting for. They were waiting for God. They were not hoping that God would get them out of the situation, because they knew that they had to work their way through whatever problem that they were in, but they placed their hope in God. But the early church, they had a different kind of hope, because their hope was based on Jesus, who came and died on the cross and rose again. So as Peter said, they had a living hope. Now it wasn't just something that they did. Now it became alive in their heart. And this is where I think really we need to be, where hope is alive and active in our heart. Now, when the Old Testament uses this waiting with expectation, it uses it with this idea of tension, like in this rope. There's this tension of our heart, of where we're at and where we're going to be in the future. And so they had a future of Israel being freed, or they had a future of Israel having Jesus rule and reign. It was held, this tension was held toward that future. But when Jesus came, that tension was not held by themselves. As Paul said, he said, may the God of hope. There's this tethering that happens, that in our hearts, there is this hope that ultimately has this tension that is not just found in our hearts, but is ultimately connected to the Almighty God. And so what Paul says is that may the God of the hope, of God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace. Because here's what happens. When the God of hope, and we experience the God of hope, we get this inner motivation, this inner desire to move toward tomorrow. And what today may be full of is sorrow and sadness and anxiety and depression. When we experience the God of hope, he moves us past that sorrow. He moves us beyond the depression. He moves us beyond the sadness and the anxiety. And he fills our heart with joy and peace. in believing that this God that we've been tethered to is ever moving us closer toward Him. And here's the beautiful thing, is that as we are filled with joy, as we are filled with peace, He says, so that it's not just a matter of us being able to be tethered and anchored in this place of hope, but there's a purpose in it. And the purpose is simply that the Holy Spirit may abound us in hope, meaning literally that while we're tethered, it makes us so full of hope by the Holy Spirit that everybody around us experiences it. That the church, regardless of current circumstances, people look at and go, why are you so hopeful? It's because I'm tethered to the God of hope. And the God of hope fills me with joy and peace and believing. And now the Holy Spirit can overflow that hope to my family. He can overflow it to my next door neighbors. He can overflow it to the people that I interact with in different areas of life. But it happens as we are tethered to this living hope. We live with this constant place of tension that moves us out of these times of sorrow and sadness and anxiety and fear, so that the God of hope might fill us with joy and peace. And so then we go back to the beginning of that chapter, and we find that Paul says that really the hopeful help the hopeless. The hopeful, they help the hopeless. So as we are tethered to this God of hope, and He is filling us with all joy and peace, now the Holy Spirit can allow us to abound in hope. Now people around us can now experience it. In fact, as I read this, listen to the words that Paul writes about this. He says, we who are strong have this obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So Paul's writing that we have this obligation as we are tethered to the God of hope, as we are connected to this God of hope. We've got this obligation to make sure that we take this hope that is the life preserver, and we toss it to people that are around us so that they might experience the hope that we've experienced. In fact, I love how he says in that scripture that we through endurance, and basically what he's saying is that as we've endured, we can look at other people and we can say, listen, in Christ, you can make it. If you're here this today and you're struggling, let me tell you something. In Christ, you can make it. You can endure whatever you're going through, whatever problems you have. Do you know why I know that? Because He's given us the scriptures. And the scriptures show us there were people that they had people rob them. They had people take over their lives, throw them in prison, do horrible things, and they made it. And so God calls us to for those of us that have hope, to help the hopeless through reminding them of scripture. We can also remind them of how God has helped us. And it brings hope as the Holy Spirit is abounding this hope in our life. And then he brings it to this individually. And he basically says that we are filled with hope as we praise and rejoice in the Lord. I want you to notice in verse 8, he says, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, it said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come. Even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. We are filled with hope as we rejoice and glorify in the Lord. So what does that mean? It means that when you sing the church is alive, something came alive in you. You may have been having feelings of sadness or depression or uncertainty, but as you sang, that began to leave. Why? Because what happened was you were connecting to the God of hope. You were in worship. You were turning toward the God of hope, and he was depositing this holy tension in your life called hope that allows you to move out of the place you were in to a place where he could fill you with joy and peace. But that happens as we begin to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus. And so I really believe that the Lord is calling upon us where some of us have more time this week than we had last week and the week before, to spend more time glorifying and rejoicing in the Lord. Now, I know our tendency is to binge watch on Amazon or Netflix, and not that those are bad things, but we certainly want to spend more time rejoicing in the Lord. In fact, I would challenge you even in this, that every day that you would make a choice to sing one song to the Lord. Maybe it's The Church is Alive. Maybe it's Anchor. I love that line in that song, Anchor. I have this hope as an anchor for my soul. They understood that anchor was Jesus Christ. They understood that anchor was the God of hope. And so I would encourage you to do that this week. Maybe you find yourself getting off Facebook and going, man, that just took every bit of hope out of me. And so you set that down and you begin to sing a song unto the Lord. And I think that there are some of you that need to commit to do that with the Lord every day. Sing unto him, rejoice. Tell him how great he is. Doesn't even have to be in song. You can very simply say, God, you are great and glorious. You are the God of hope. And I praise you that you, through Jesus Christ, has allowed me to be in a relationship with a God who is an eternal God, this God of hope, who's moving me toward eternity day by day. Thank you for filling my heart, and praise him and glorify him in that manner. But I want you to go a step further, because I believe that God wants us to mature here at Bethel. And I believe it's a dynamic of igniting change where as God fills you with hope, you then help those who are hopeless. And there's some simple ways that we can do it. We very simply could post something on Facebook that says, I sang this song this week and God just moved in my heart and I was so encouraged by it. Why don't you sing it to the Lord? Or maybe what you need to do is you need to get on the phone with a friend or FaceTime a friend or a family member and talk to him about the Lord and how he's filled your life with hope in the midst of this great challenge that we are in the midst of. Because I believe God is going to take that and he's going to expand it. If you are part of one of these groups this morning and you have never turned to the Lord and said, will you be my God? I pray that as I pray here in a moment, that you would ask him to be your God, the God of hope, and that you would say, Lord, forgive me for all of my sins. I choose to follow you all the days of my life, and watch your heart be filled with the hope of heaven. And all the fear and the anxiety and the sadness and the depression that you came in with will leave in an instant. And so let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that every person that is part of one of these venues will experience the fullness of the hope that is offered through you. That we as the church would not live in a place of perpetual anxiety, fear, sadness, depression, sorrow, but that, Lord, we would move to a place where we've experienced you and you could fill us with joy and peace. And then by the Holy Spirit, abounding in hope. For the person that has never said yes to you, who's never chosen to follow you, I pray they would say yes to you today. And they would confess their wrongs, confess their sins, and allow you to fill their heart and their life with joy and peace so that they too might abound in hope. Lord, I pray for the church, not just Bethel, but the church, that Lord, that we would not limit church to once a week, but that Lord, we would live a life that rejoices in what you've done, that we would glorify and sing to your name, that we would lift up and extol you to the rightful place, that we would honor and lift you up. So much so that, Lord, we live full of the hope that abounds in our life. And that, Lord, we would be challenged not just to contain it for ourselves, but that, Lord, we would position ourselves as you guide us on social media, as you guide us person to person, whether through a text or a phone call or FaceTime or however, that, Lord, that we might tether others to the God of hope that we are experiencing day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.